Hey, let's thank our praise team this morning. Jordan and Becky moved this weekend, so Jordan needed a day off. And thank you, Michael, for stepping up. And thank you, Michaela. She's such a sweet person. Today we're continuing with this new series, Jesus' Power Helps Us. Again, going along the theme with our Vacation Bible School, which is starting next Sunday evening. And as you can see, the different topics that we'll be covering today, our topic is that He gives us hope. And, you know, on May the 26th, 2013, there was an oil tanker, the Jascon 4, that capsized and sank off the coast of Nigeria. 3 days later, a recovery team dove down 100 feet to the wreckage that was down below, and they thought they were going down there to recover the bodies of the dead crew members, and to their amazement, they found something that they were not expecting. So I want you to watch this little video clip, and then we'll keep going. That's an amazing story. Harrison Okene thought he was going to die. I mean, wouldn't you, if you were on a ship that capsized and sank and you saw everyone else swept away? I mean, the chances of his survival were slim to none. And in that pitch dark tomb he found himself in, there was just this one little small air pocket. And really, that's what saved him. For 3 days, he drank Coca-Cola, and he was unable to eat anything. There was nothing to eat, and he couldn't drink the water. But it got even worse. The salt water started to take the skin off of his body and his tongue. He said, "I was there in the water in total darkness, just thinking it's the end. I kept thinking the water was going to fill up the room, but it did not." Despite surviving in pitch black conditions, Okene said that he knew he wasn't alone. And this is a sort of rough thing. He said, "I couldn't see anything. I could perceive the dead bodies of my crew were nearby." He said, "I could smell them. The fish came in, began eating the bodies. I could hear the sound. It was horror." Think about being in that kind of a desperate situation. There's someone in the water. That on the video, that's what they said. Because the rescue crew or the recovery team was down there, and they were talking to the people upstairs, and then they saw this hand reaching out to them. They said, "There's somebody in the water." And they said, "He's alive, he's alive." And that's when they knew somebody had survived. He wasn't out of the woods yet. He had to spend another 60 hours in a decompression chamber, but he was alive. In that video clip, Harrison spoke of his faith in God. He prayed and he committed his life and his soul to God. God was his only hope, and he received the miracle that he was praying for. Friends, you know, we need hope. Have you found that to be true? We need hope to survive. Without hope, we give up. Without hope, we are lost. Without hope, we are in a very dark place in life. The problem is that Satan wants to steal our hope. He wants to convince us that there is no hope. He wants us to feel hopeless because if we give up and wallow in our despair, he has won. His goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. Anything he can do to accomplish that task, he's going to do. And how many times do we just fall prey to his tricks? Right now, some of you, either here on campus or watching online, are feeling hopeless. Some of you are discouraged and you're feeling like giving up. Some of you are hurting and lonely and in a very dark place. Like Harrison, you are in a dark place and you don't know if you're going to survive it or not. Now, I'll admit to you that as I have recently been watching all the stuff that's going on in our country, the riots and the constant bombardment of anger and hatred on Facebook, I get discouraged. When all I see is negative ads and angry rhetoric, it just starts to take me down a dark path. Between the coronavirus and the racial tensions and the anarchists who are taking advantage, 2020 seems to be getting gloomier and gloomier. Anybody with me on this? Do any of you feel the same thing? It can definitely have the effect of taking our eyes off of Jesus. But it isn't just the current distress our nation is in. It's life itself. I mean, friends, we have enough stressful things happening without all these tensions. Issues at work, interpersonal tensions, financial worries, health concerns, family discord, church divisions, all of these kinds of things are all in the air. And I don't know about you, but we need some hope right now. And the good news is that Scripture brings light into that darkness. The Apostle Paul also experienced a shipwreck. And in that scary and turbulent moment in his life, he shared hope with the rest of the passengers and crew who were with him. And his words remind us that, and this is the big idea for the day, Jesus' power gives us hope. Yes, Jesus' power gives us hope. He gives hope to the hopeless. There is hope in Christ that all of the stuff we're dealing with, this is just a momentary thing we're dealing with. And then we'll be in heaven with God for eternity. Now, after Paul became a follower of Jesus, we read about some of that last week. He fervently shared the news of Jesus everywhere he went. One time he was in Jerusalem and Paul encountered a group of men who were opposing his teachings. And these men began a riot, accusing Paul of spreading false doctrine and of defiling the temple. And so the guards arrested Paul and they threw him into prison. And the following years included trials and death threats and secret transfers to other prisons. And finally, Paul was able to plead his case before Caesar because he was a Roman citizen, and they took a trip off towards Rome. In Acts 27 and verse 9, Paul notes the sailing season in connection with Jewish observances. Sailors typically only sailed from Pentecost, which would be around May or June, through the tabernacles, which would be somewhere in September or early October. Roman sailors did not want to sail in November because that was especially a dangerous time of year to be out on the water. The sailors battled the fierce storm that came up as they were sailing for at least 3 days, using every trick they knew to secure the ship and survive these hurricane-force winds and waves. And finally, the weary seamen lost hope of ever being saved. They thought that all hope was gone. They were going to drown. And at this low point, Paul shared some hopeful news from God. You see, God spoke to Paul. God's message of hope conveyed through Paul rang true for the soldiers and the sailors and the prisoners. God's angel assured Paul that none of you will lose your lives. That would be a message of hope from God, wouldn't it? You know, look, it looks bad, but none of you are going to lose your lives. You're going to be okay. I've got you. However, after the shipwreck, the soldiers planned to kill the prisoners so that they wouldn't escape. Now, you might remember from previous sermons or as you've studied the Scripture that Roman law mandated that a soldier who lost a prisoner had to take the prisoner's place. So these soldiers were afraid. Now they've gotten off the ship. They're safe, but you know, what if some of these prisoners get away? We'll kill them and then that won't happen. In Acts 27:43, the Scripture says, but the commanding officer wanted to spare Paul, so he didn't let them carry out their plan. And just as the angel said, not even a prisoner would die from that event. In many ways, Paul was powerless in this stormy sea. He didn't have experience as a sailor. Guards held him prisoner, and of course, he couldn't stop the crashing waves or the howling winds. But Paul did have Jesus' power on His side. And in the same way, many of you may feel powerless through life's storms. The world can seem turbulent and dark and confusing. Bad news crashes all over us. Fear blows relentlessly, leaving us feeling helpless. And yet God promises to strengthen us with His power. And if we will trust in God, we will experience the same thing Paul experienced, that God is faithful and we can put our hope in Him. Like Paul, we have Jesus' power on our side. Today, I hope that you will celebrate that truth. And I hope that you will be reminded of the hope of victory and comfort during life's uncertain times. Now, there's a couple of lessons that I think we can learn from this. One is that life is filled with seemingly hopeless situations. And I'm sure that many of you have been through some of those things. Maybe some of you are going through some of those things right now. Paul experienced many of those situations in his life as well, and yet he kept his hope alive. I find 2 Corinthians 11 very informative when it comes to the way Paul saw things. And beginning in verse 23, he writes, "Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again." Now he's going to go through a list of things he's been through. "Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one." This is where they would take a cat of nine tails, or they would take a rod and they would just beat you till you just about passed out or were dead. "Three times," he says, "I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches." Now just think about that list of things that Paul went through right there. Probably any one of those things would make us feel hopeless or helpless. Paul went through that list, beaten, attacked several times, stoned to the point where, you know, they thought he was dead. Everywhere he went, land, sea, city, country, he felt like he was in danger. He had experienced sleepless nights. He had been hungry and thirsty. He had been basically without shelter or warm clothes. He was anxious for the churches he helped to plant because he knew that they were going to go through persecution as well. So you listen to that thing, and then you think about your life, and I think about my life. What are we experiencing now? We might point to things that may make us feel hopeless. And I want to tell you, friends, without Jesus, there is no hope. I want to tell you that. Without Jesus, there is no hope. Without Jesus, we are left with an emptiness in life. The unbeliever is left with the same philosophy that Nietzsche had when he wrote this. Friedrich Nietzsche wrote in his book, Human, "In reality, hope is the worst of all evils because it prolongs the torments of a man." Isn't that a terribly sad and dark philosophy of life? If you don't believe in Christ, you can't put your hope in Him. All you have and all that you're left with is darkness and the fear of death. Amanda Peet is an American actress who has appeared in several films. She's been on stage and in television. She appeared on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert and put him in a very awkward situation. You know, most of those things, they try to, you know, keep funny and everything. But on that particular show, things got real when Colbert asked her about her HBO show, Togetherness. And on the show, many of the characters are struggling through midlife crises. Colbert asked her, well, you've got a lovely life. What do you know from the midlife crisis? Is this a stretch for you? And she said, no, 44 is quite something. And then he said, well, you don't look like a personal crisis to me. What is your crisis? And this is what she said. She said, I fear death. Oh, okay, well, he said, keep it light. We all die. It's the late night talk show. Keep it light. Keep it light. Maybe you'll go to heaven. You'll die and go to heaven. And she said, okay, that's where I need help. You're Catholic, right? She asked him. I'm Jewish. And he said, well, what do you believe? And she said, I need to know what to believe in. He said, like, what happens when you die? She says, yes, I don't want to be a bag of dust. And he said, well, I don't really know. I don't know what happens. I kind of believe. I kind of want the pearly gates and all that. And she said, this is not inspirational. And he said, not helping? Yeah. No, Stephen, you didn't help. This pandemic and the stress of our culture and crisis can bring a lot of us to a dark place, like Amanda Peet felt like she was in. But as I read the words of Paul, who was going through probably so much more than we will ever go through, I find hope. And he tells us what Stephen Colbert should have told Amanda Peet. Put your hope in Christ. That is the secret to not fearing death. Put your hope in Christ. You may be discouraged. You may be hurting. You may feel like giving up, but Paul believed even in death, we don't have to give up. In 1 Corinthians 15, he wrote, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Friends, our hope has got to be in the Lord, not in the government, not in men to come up with brilliant schemes to fix everything, not in our ability to, you know, solve all of our problems. It seems like we always fall short, doesn't it? But our hope is in the Lord. In Romans chapter 5, Paul wrote this, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul's belief was that through Christ, even as we go through hardships and seemingly hopeless situations, we can have hope. Because Jesus gives us hope. He demonstrates that God loves us even when we're unworthy of His love, even when we have sinned against God. He demonstrated that as we go through the hardships of life with faith in Christ, we will develop hope. A hope that, in Paul's words, does not put us to shame. Even as we go through these dark days, we must keep our hope alive. As Martin Luther King Jr. once said, as he was going through difficult days in the civil rights movement, He wrote this, "Even in the inevitable moments when all seems hopeless, men know that without hope they cannot really live. And in agonizing desperation, they cry for the bread of hope." And friends, I believe Jesus is he's the bread of life, and I believe he's the bread of hope. You see, hope is a necessity. Drake Bauer wrote an article entitled, "What Good is Hope?" And in it, he shared these thoughts. "Humans seek after hope like moths seek after light. It's intrinsic to who we are." Neuroscientist Tali Sherratt argues hope is so essential to our survival that it is hardwired into our brains, arguing it can be the difference between living a healthier life versus one trapped by despair. Now listen to what these studies show about people who have hope. Hopeful college kids get higher GPAs and are more likely to graduate. Hopeful athletes perform better on the field, cope better with injuries, and have a greater mental adjustment when situations change. In one study of the elderly, those who said they felt hopeless were more than twice as likely to die during the study follow-up period than those who had been more hopeful. It's pretty clear. Hope is powerfully catalytic. And why Dr. Shane Lopez, the psychologist who was regarded as the world's leading researcher on hope, claimed that hope isn't just an emotion, but an essential life tool. Many of you have heard of Desmond Tutu. He came to prominence in South Africa during the apartheid. And in Time Magazine's regular column, 10 Questions, readers are given an opportunity to interview celebrities and world leaders through some questions that they submit through email. And in March 22nd of 2010, the issue of Time, they highlighted Desmond Tutu, the South African archbishop. And in it, they said, this is the first question, "After all you've seen and endured, are you really as optimistic as your book, Made for Goodness, says you are?" And he said this in response, "I'm not optimistic, no. I'm quite different. I'm hopeful. I am a prisoner of hope. In the world, you have very bad people, Hitler, Idi Amin," this is a while back, and they look like they're going to win. All of them have bitten the dust." And then another question that I'd highlight today, "What is your favorite Bible verse and why?" And Desmond Tutu quoted a verse that I read just a moment ago, Romans 8:5-8. "While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us." He says it sums up the gospel wonderfully. We think we have to impress God so that God could love us. But he says, no, you were loved already, even at your worst. In Psalm 31:24, the psalmist encourages us, "Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord." You know, there's an old hymn that I grew up singing in church when my mama would take us to church, and I remember us singing this song. I hope maybe some others of you will remember this old hymn. But some of you probably, we don't sing a lot of old hymns in here, and so there's a good possibility that some of you have never even heard this song. But the message of this hymn is a powerful message. It reminds us in whom our hope is built. And so today, I'm going to ask our praise team to come on out and lead us in this song as we come to a conclusion of the message. And if you know the song, sing it with us. If you don't know it, just think about the message that it's giving us. The song, "The Solid Rock."